By the Middle Ages, Basques and Scandinavians were killing whales for oil in the Bay of Biscay and the North Atlantic. After Spain's Great Armada was scattered and sunk in 1588, a desperate Spanish navy pressed into service whale-wise Basque seamen. Many chose instead to sail with the Dutch, who by the 1620s wound up in control of a much expanded European whaling trade. This centered in waters around Spitsbergen, the barren 15,000-square-mile island just north of the Arctic Circle, then Dutch-held and known as Amsterdam Island. There, oil production for the lamps of Europe bred a roistering milieu not unlike that in later industrial boomtowns in the United States. By 1637, the Dutch apparently had more than 300 whaling ships and 18,000 men at Spitsbergen. The new flensing and boiling techniques developed by the Hollanders to produce whale oil created a sprawling industrial landscape resembling a seaside Hades. Endless carcasses, huge saws and knives, deep vats, row after row of storage tanks, with fires and smoke clouds lurid in the Arctic half-light. The biggest of these mammalian giants, sperm whales 60 to 70 feet long, produced a whopping 500 to 800 gallons of oil. Procuring whale oil was a serious European enterprise. The Dutch, without peer in seagoing commerce, used it for soap, lighting for streets, households, and industry, lubricants for machinery, cosmetics, lipsticks and perfumes, and even sophisticated paints. Art historians credit local oil refining techniques for the mastery exhibited by the Dutch and Flemish painters of the 16th and 17th centuries. Linseed oil made from seeds crushed in nearby windmills improved paints enough that Rembrandt, Vermeer, and others could make major advances in precise lines, light, shade, and perspective. Indeed, municipal illumination took a great leap forward because of a painter, Jan van der Heijden. He invented the street lantern, which burned through a night on a mixture of processed oils. Amsterdam adopted it in the 1670s for what some historians call the first proper system of city street lighting. Only some of these uses were displaced by John D. Rockefeller's later mass production of petroleum, since that was not always the preferred ingredient or lubricant for a given purpose. Wildlife conservationists, for example, later lamented that the First World War provided a large market for explosives using glycerin from baleen whale oil provided by British and Norwegian whaling in the Antarctic. French perfumers, Swiss watchmakers, and many others continue to demand special oils. After a century, Dutch whaling and broader Dutch maritime enterprise lost its edge. And in the 1720s, leadership passed to British colonial New England, most notably Massachusetts. That state, not Pennsylvania, saw the first American energy boom. More broadly, the preeminence of Dutch, British, and American companies in the international petroleum business goes back to the whaling and maritime eras. This adds centuries to the larger U.S. and Western trajectory of economic and energy resource maturation. Our oil culture is getting old. Nantucket was the first major center, and before long, 60 American whaling ships were in the Davis Strait near Greenland. By 1768, Nantucket alone had 125 whaling ships and exported its oil directly to Britain. English and Scottish ports briefly moved ahead after the British Navy captured many American whalers during the American Revolution and the War of 1812. However, Massachusetts always bounced back in peacetime, and by 1820, New Bedford, the greatest port of all, took over, captaining the pursuit of the fierce but especially oil-rich sperm whales, later immortalized by Herman Melville in Moby Dick. Absorbing the fleets of other nearby whaling centers, New Bedford in 1845 sent 10,000 seamen in more than 300 ships to bring home its greatest receipts, 158,000 barrels of sperm oil, 272,000 barrels of other whale oil, and 300,000 pounds of whale bone, much in demand for corsets and such like. Like 20th century oilmen, the Dutch, British, and New England whalers generally opened up new territories as they depleted familiar ones. The sequence of whaling grounds led from the Bay of Biscay, Greenland, and Labrador to Spitsbergen and the European Arctic, the Gulf of St. Lawrence, Brazil, Chile, the South Pacific, Japan, and by the mid-19th century, Kodiak, Kamchatka, the Bering Sea, and the nearby Alaskan Arctic. Petroleum exploration produced a similar migration of geologists. From Pennsylvania, Eastern Europe, the Russian Caucasus, and Persia to the Dutch East Indies, Oklahoma, Texas, California, Mexico, Venezuela, the Persian Gulf, Saudi Arabia, West Africa, Alaska, the North Sea, and the South China Sea. Each time, resource depletion demanded increasingly far-flung searches.